Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, May the 6th, 2017. Revenge of the Sixth. It's Season 11, Episode 17. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And that is it. Matt is not here with us. I don't think Matt will be here next weekend either.
He's got another Star Wars thing or something with his
No, name. I can't remember what he had this weekend. That I know he said it was going to be like the next 2 weeks. Well, he's working nights or something.
That's right. He's working nights at his job. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's either this week and next week, or it might be extended there. I don't know. Just working nights for 2 weeks or something? I don't know.
Maybe someone went on vacation, he had to fill in for him or something.
Could be. I'll find out from him and make sure. But I know this week he's not going to be here, and next week he is not going to be here at all either. So just me and RJ filling in. Anyway, we invite you to call. Our phone number is 334-272-9228, 334-272-9228. We do not have a call screener. Matt normally grabs the phones, or I'll grab the phones whenever Matt's talking or something. We usually have people grabbing the phones. I don't have that this week. The phones will ring, and I will get to you as you call. It's not like our lines blow up around here, so you won't be waiting very long. But give us a call, 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. If you go there, you can find everything that I'm about to tell you. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook at In-Game Chat. You can email us. That's there as well. Everyone at InGameChat.net. We're streaming right now. You can find that there as well. All you have to do is go to Twitch.tv. I put the little box at the top. There's a little search box on that webpage. Type in In-Game Chat, and you can find us there. Or, like I said, just go to InGameChat.net. Click on the link there to watch us on Twitch. Boom. There you go. You can also join the chat room live while we broadcast with everybody that's hanging out in there this afternoon. And we thank them for joining up as well and watching the show and keeping the chat room active. So welcome to the show. All right, let's jump into... I kind of want to jump into what we played because I don't think it's going to take that long to cover this. For RJ, what's it been for you?
Well, playing-wise, a little bit of things here and there. Dusted off the dust off the PlayStation 2, and I played some Manhunt. Played that a little bit. Got back into that some. I saw that it was on the PlayStation Store for like $15, I believe, on the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. But my PlayStation 2 still works, so I've been playing that on it. So I've been having fun with that. Had a little bit of fun with 3-on-3 Freestyle. That's been had a little event going on with more items to boost your character up, so I've been playing a little bit of that as well. But for the most part, for all of this week, it's been Dark Souls 3, and I'm happy to announce that I finally finished the DLC of The Ring City.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Got the three bosses out the way. The first one, Educator Juko, took him down a while back, but the biggest problems I was having was with last week was Dark Eater Midir, the dragon boss battle.
Yeah.
And the last boss battle with Slave Knight Gale. The thing about that was it took me literally about a week for each one because I'm not used to battles lasting that long in Dark Souls, but the difficulty was like ratcheted up, as I've said before. They said the difficulty of the Ring City DLC was picked up significantly. Yeah. So because of that, these boss battles were long and arduous, I'm telling you, because I've been killed as quick as 12 seconds. In some of these battles,
yeah,
and the battles a good chance of beating the boss took me around at least 20 minutes, because the opportunities to attack are few and far between, and if you mess up and guess wrong, you're dead. One or two hits, and that's it.
So what is left for you to do?
Probably just exploring and finding a little few secrets here and there, but for the most part, everything's done. Probably just finding a few items here and there.
Yeah.
And after that. The only thing I got left is probably going to New Game Plus 7, ninth playthrough, with everything at max difficulty and max souls.
New Game Plus 7 will be the ninth playthrough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I see. So there's playthrough 1,
yeah,
and then there's New Game Plus.
That's new. Playthrough 2 is New Game.
Oh, it's New Game. Okay.
That's New Game is the second playthrough. New Game Plus would be your third playthrough.
Oh,
so I'm on
okay.
New Game Plus 7 would be your ninth playthrough.
Good.
So
is there a limit to that? Can you just keep doing that over and over again?
No, I think New Game Plus 7 is the max.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think it's been that way in all the Souls series. Pretty much.
Obviously, you can tell I am not a player of the Souls series of games.
Yeah.
But okay, so yeah, well then there's that for you to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, that'd be the ninth playthrough would be the last one for me.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of want to hold off on that because I got some friends of mine who probably want to need some help in some of those areas.
Yeah.
So I want to have everything available to me because if I start over the next playthrough, I have to go through the entire
game. Yeah, I was wondering if you were about to say that you were going to play something else, and why ruin the momentum, you man? You know, just keep going because you lose that muscle memory of the controllers and stuff, and yeah. It's not because I kind of want to go back to Horizon. I'm at that one spot that's just been annoying me. And my muscle memory on that is fading because Nier is taking over on that one.
I would start that, but there's some other things I've been wanting to play as well. I mean, I got it available, so.
What do I have in my... I still got Sniper Elite 4.
I thought you finished that.
No. I got close to that, and I just took a break because it takes me forever to play a level. Mm. And so I had gotten through 7 of the levels. I have 8, 9, and 10 left. I have 3 levels left. And I'd gone through 7 levels spending 4 and 5 hours each in every level, maybe longer. And so, you know, I've already put like 45, 50 hours into the game and I haven't finished. And I know that's peanuts compared to what you're doing with Dark Souls. Mm. I understand that. Mm. But yeah, it's just I was getting tired of the same old thing over and over and over again, and it really was pretty much the same old thing. It was the way I play anyway. It's sneak, sneak, sneak,
sneak and stealth.
Don't get detected. As soon as you're detected, start over.
Yeah, I mean because Sniper Elite doesn't sound like the type of game you want to run and gun in.
It's not the kind of game you want to run and gun in, but after 7 levels of being so methodical. I was ready to break away from it. I was ready to say, okay, let's go to something next. Mm. Let's go to something else. And I think Horizon came out, because this is back in February when this released.
Oh, that's right.
Sniper Elite 4. Mm-hmm. So let's go on to something else. Let's do Horizon or whatever. I think I got The Witness or something. I don't know. Witness is something I really need to get into. All these games I want to get back into.
Bloodborne for me. I think I scratched the surface of the DLC in Bloodborne.
Jeez, I never played Bayonetta. That. You know, I played a little bit of Bayonetta on the 360, but now I've got it on PC, and I really want to see that thing. Zoom.
In 60 FPS, yeah.
At 1440 on my monitor. I just want to see that thing go. Mm-hmm. I did notice, this was something I talked about, and I don't mean to go off course from you, because I don't think we're done with you yet, but I had mentioned last week or the week before that I wanted to sit in front of my computer and play some games to see how my back would fare. Mm-hmm. Does not fare very well. It's still an issue. Like, sitting right now, you might see me do something like this because I'm trying to keep this a little bit. If this stays in a position for too long, sitting up like this, it will hurt very, very bad. So I just, you know, I kind of move around a little bit, do something like that. I noticed when I tried to play sitting on the bed, which is where I normally play, Mario Kart, or I think it was Nier. I want to say it was Nier. I don't think it happened with Mario Kart, but with Nier, for some reason. And maybe with other games too, but I only really tried it out on Nier. I got back into Nier and I started playing. I sit on my bed, cross leg, whatever. And my TV is not so far up to where my head goes like this, but eventually I lean forward and my head goes like this, and I'm looking at the TV and it stays in this position. This hurts right now. And so I noticed that I was falling into that position. There's no reason for me to fall in that position other than posture. The TV is not at some angle that makes me do that, but I noticed eventually the more I played of that game, the more I hunched forward and the more my neck came backward to keep the position of whatever. And that's bad. So if I don't pay attention to what I'm doing, I'll get into that thing, and then I'm like, "Oh God, I'm in a position I can't move."
Yeah, it's like a game that has you so enraptured, your focus is so on that game that you don't realize what position.
Which is not too much to focus on in that game because there's a big open. I don't know if you played any of Nier.
Seen videos of it. Seen some folks play it. Yeah,
it's nice open world stuff. I mean, when you get into battles and things, and the battles aren't very long. Mm-hmm. They don't take very long to mess with, or at least the ones that I've run into, and I'm very early in the game. They don't seem to take very long to do, but I find myself getting in that position. And the only way that I can fix that is if I don't think this happened when I played Destiny. I used to play... Remember when I played Destiny back... It was after Taken King had come out, but everybody else had pretty much left, and I was just still trying to grind through the thing.
Yeah.
And I never ran into that problem when I was playing Destiny. So I just played a ton of that and never ran into that problem. Then again, I never had whatever's going on with me back then. The only way I can fix that is to eliminate the possibility of that happening altogether. So I'll pile pillows behind me
and then I'll
recline back and just stay in that position and play. That actually works out fine.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed when I play Mario Kart, I don't run into that position. I don't run into that situation where my head is... Maybe because the laps are just three laps and then you're done and you can kind of stretch and whatever, whereas something like Nier is very... It's a consistent type game. It's not a, here's a level, finish it, good. It's nothing like that. It's open world. You're always, you know, you're always engaged.
Looking at stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you're always engaged. And see, my back is turned... You know, put that call on hold, whoever that is. See, my back is turned away from the phone facing RJ, so I didn't even know that the phone was ringing, and I apologize to whoever that is. But anyway, back to you. What else have you played other than Dark Souls?
I did play a little more of the demo of Guilty Gear Xrd, Rev 2. That was available for the PlayStation Plus users. And that game comes out, I believe, the 26th of May. They did some changes to the mechanics. Of course, they have two new characters in Baiken and Answer. So I've been having a little time seeing what they're capable of, what they can do, and seeing how to deal with them. Because I really only have one character that I use, Axel, in the game. So I wanted to see if I could things I could punish, things I could defend against using those characters. Because I get the feeling that in any tournament that we play in, a lot of times new characters will be used over and over again. So you want to be ready for them at any given moment. So I've been putting them in practice mode and seeing what I can do here and there with the character that I use. So it's been some adjustments here and there, new things left and right. So it's just getting reacquainted with the game all over again. And I'll be ready for it when the 26th comes around.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones because it's Matt.
And hey. I'm Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, it's good that you can call us. I know you can't be here in studio, but it's nice that you can give us a call.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Not much. Just, you know, listening about finally RJ finally beaten for the eighth time, I guess.
Because he's about to start the ninth playthrough.
Plus seven.
Yeah,
that's commendable. That is awesome.
Hey, we were talking about this. I don't know if you heard this part either.
I heard.
What's your schedule? You're not going to be here this week or next week, but what happens after that?
I should be back after that.
Okay, cool. All right. Wasn't sure if that was a long term thing.
No, what was
going on with that? So.
Yeah, work this week is just, you know, it's crazy. I have a physical fitness test tomorrow that I'm just like, blah, not looking forward to. And next week I'll be out of town. But I'll be back after that.
All right, cool. Well, what have you played, since I got you on the phone, what have you played?
A little bit more, of course, Zelda.
Right,
you know,
of course.
You know, just tooling around in that. I picked up for like $30 off of Steam. Players Unknown Battleground.
I've been hearing a lot of things about this game.
Yeah, you know, some of the guys were talking about that, and I'm like, okay, well, it's supposed to be like a King of the Hill Battle Royale type game.
Basically, you're loaded into a random area.
Yeah.
All of the players are loaded into a random area, and you start with nothing, and you have to find weapons and then kill other people whenever you see them.
Flying in on an island on a C-130, jump out whenever you feel like, you know, maybe people won't be around, and you scour around the area, you know, looking for armor, looking for clothes, equipment, you know, weapons, bullets, all that.
And then
that
over
stuff.
Time, doesn't the map get smaller and smaller?
The map doesn't shrink, but like I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Battle Royale, but they'll set up, like, the game mode that I saw, there's a big, like, there's a white circle around. And you want to be in the white area, the white circle of the map. And because if you're not, then a like sort of electronic force field just starts like slowly closing in to where the white circle is. And if you're caught in that force field, it depletes your health.
Right. It forces you. It forces you to interact.
It forces you to go into like close into the center.
Yeah.
Within the white white circle, there were red areas. Like a red circle would pop up. And if you're in that red area, then it gets aerial bombed. And so you either, get out of it or seek shelter. So it's a lot of, you know, trying to, like, slowly get to the center of the map, avoid everybody else if you can, and not get blown up.
Okay.
So it looked really interesting. It looked like a lot of fun. So I'm going to start, you know, I only had a chance to go through the settings a little bit, and hopefully sometime next week I'll be able to play a little bit of that so I could give you my impressions of it. But from what I've seen, it looked really fun.
All right. Anything else?
I'm looking at Prey. I haven't gotten
it. I know, yet. Yeah. I know. It came out Friday.
It looks, you know, it caught my interest. I will say that.
You know, Bethesda does this thing now where they don't ship out early review copies to people.
No.
So, you know, it's hard to get any kind of idea of what the community thinks.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody has it to play until the day of. So I haven't checked that out. I'm okay with that. I don't really care about that in a sense of the early review copies. I don't care about that, but I do like to know the overall reception of the hive mind of what they think about something like that and how it's kind of how it's working in those communities and that sort of thing, how it's working for them in a large area and not small review sites and stuff like that. The other thing that bothers me about that, though, is I don't get something from, like, Digital Foundry where they do benchmarks on it and show you how many frames per second.
How well it'll run on your system.
Yeah, how well it'll run in your system. You kind of have to wait for that stuff to come out, which means I'll play it day one, but maybe it saves me some bucks to wait for that and see how it's going to be. But from everything that I've heard in our little chat there from James and from Dennis, they both have it, and they say it runs spectacularly on their systems, and they have very, very different systems. Dennis is on a laptop.
Lower end.
Yeah, and James is on a desktop. And so they're completely, fantastically opposite each other, and they're still getting a good run on the game. So, and from what I hear, everything seems to be doing well with that game. So, that might be something to jump into. I've got music from the game for our our bumpers and stuff, and I really like what I hear there. If that is indeed coming from the game, again, it only came out Friday, so I don't know if the music I have is directly from the game or if it's pulled from like a trailer for the game. I don't exactly know, but by the way, anybody out there who has been playing Prey and wants to chime in with their opinions of it, please give us a call, 334-272-9228. So yeah, that's on my radar as well.
Played a little more Sniper Elite. I picked up that Silence Weapon pack, and I went back to the first level in it just because I'm trying to upgrade my gun. So, you know, you had to do, like, 50 shots from over 100 meters and, you know, tag and, you know, kills with a tag gun and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to upgrade my gun so I can have the better zoom and the damage and stuff. But I like weapons so far. I'm not quite as afraid of just, you know, having to shoot someone without the sound masking on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. So yeah, that's kind of just what I've been up to.
I'm distracted by STM Fuller.
Yeah?
He said he found the game for $36.
Oh, where?
I don't know. I'm asking him that in the chat room. Where did you find that?
Yeah, that's actually a really good price.
It was illegal.
what was the last game? It was a PC game I picked up for like $36, and I can't remember which one it was. It was Halo Wars. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't Halo Wars. Or was it Halo Wars 2? I don't remember. I picked a game. It was a new release game. It was like $36. I don't know if it was CD Keys or it was... We posted on in the... Yeah, CD Keys is where you got it from. All right.
Okay.
I'm going to go there and check that out and see if... I mean, if that's got $36 on it, I'll probably... Look at that.
I still want Ghost Recon, but it hadn't gone down.
$36! Why is it... How? How is it 60? What the?
All right.
Okay, fine.
You were right.
I wonder if James got it for that price.
I don't know. Maybe he did. You know, it would have been nice of you, James, if you're listening.
Yeah,
no, you're not. To post it in the chat room and let us know where you picked it up.
You reacted like you already bought the game.
Who?
You.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to hit buy now, though, and I'm about to get this thing. $36.
Yeah. That's not a bad price at all.
Yeah, totally. All right, Matt. Well, if the, you got anything else before we let you go?
No, I think that's about it.
All right. Well, I guess you're working tonight then, right?
Yeah, actually, getting off in a little bit and having a concert tonight.
Okay.
So I'm going to that and just, you know, trying to get dressed up before my PT test.
Gotcha. Mm. All right, man. Well, take care. And if you get a chance to call in next week, please do.
Will do.
All right, dude.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.
$36. What the hell?
Yeah, but that is a good question, though. How? How are they getting away with it for $36?
It's showing me the retail price there is $58.49, but they're selling it for $36.99, and I'm like, well, sold. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lethal Migraine wants to know what... Okay, Matt, if you're still listening, what concert are you going to? Shoot me a text or something. Shoot me a thing in G-Chat or whatever. I'd like to know so I can answer what concert. Lethal Migraine suspects it's Yanni, maybe Kenny G. My mind's on John. My money's on John Tesh. So, we'll see. Hmm. No, actually, I don't know what concert he's going to. Is there a concert tonight locally? I don't think there is. There's one tomorrow night, but that's Boston. I don't know what he's going to tonight. Well, we'll try and find out and bring you that breaking news as soon as we get it. Right now, breaking news is $36.99. Buy now, yes. Let me see what this is going to be. I'm shopping on... are there no tags? Is there no tax? Oh, could check out with PayPal. I don't know. CD Keys...
What are they based out of?
I don't know. CD Keys is one of those like... sometimes it's shady, sometimes it's not.
One of them Russian truck things you keep talking
about? No, not necessarily on this. It's a lot like what... was it G2G or Gamergate was? And I don't mean Gamergate, the movement thing. Mm-hmm. I mean the website that sold game stuff. They're basically a key reseller.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. But I have never run into a problem with CD keys before. $36.99 right there. Like there is no... Boom. Continue. Continue. And it's processing, and now I own Prey, apparently.
Hopefully.
Yeah, PayPal Express check, it's done. Okay. Oh, so Lethal Migraine, he is going to... Oh, he's going... It's here in Montgomery, at our Montgomery Performing Arts Center. He's going to see the Black Jacket Symphony doing Fleetwood Mac's Rumors album. That is what he's going to... to watch tonight. Let me make sure this transaction went through, because I'm not sure on this real quick. Let me see if I got a receipt from PayPal in my box here. I know, I'm shopping on the radio. Isn't it great?
Awesome.
All right, it doesn't show that... See, place order. Submitting order and information. Oh, maybe I... Okay. All right, it's currently going through the motions. Your order has been received. Thanks for your purchase. You will receive an order confirmation. Wow. Boom. Done. And there it is. There's my order confirmation. There's my download link. This is fantastic. Well, this is something amazing. And there's my... Whoa, that is weird.
What happened?
I can't show you this, but it looks like it's a photo... of keys.
A photo.
I'm
of
not
keys.
I don't want to turn this around.
No,
I don't
you don't
want
have
camera
to.
To see
just,
it. But if you come over here real quick.
All right.
Come over here real quick. Just so that you can see what I'm seeing here. It looks like it's a picture of, I mean, I'm out $36 if it doesn't work. You see this?
Oh yeah, that looks legitimate.
That doesn't it? It looks completely legitimate. By that we mean it doesn't look legitimate at all. So now you can describe kind of what it looks like. It looks like it's
it's like a $36 crapshoot. That's what it looks like.
I know. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. We'll find out.
Like I said before, hopefully it works.
That's really weird. Okay, fine.
Now you didn't say you never had a problem with this place before.
Yeah, and I don't remember ever getting something that looked like that, though, because that looks sketchy as all hell, man. That looks really sketchy.
Oh, yeah. We're going to need an update on that as soon as you try that key
My
out.
My PC's right here.
Okay.
So I'll try that out. In fact, we're going to take a break. I'm going to enter this stuff in there and...
keep your fingers crossed, folks.
Yeah, we'll tell you how it's going to go. Recently, and we're going to go over all of these games that got added into the Video Game Hall of Fame this week. One of those games, and look, I had plenty of music from new releases to cover all of our tracks, with the exception of I needed, I think, one title, and I was like, well, let me check around, see what I can grab from whatever we've been talking about or whatever, and I saw that there were games that were added to the Video Game Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Most of them we've used before. Some of them don't really have much of a soundtrack because they're older games. They have like an intro theme, and then it's just game sound effects.
Yeah.
But Street Fighter II
yeah.
got added to the Video Game Hall of Fame. I picked mm-hmm. Ryu Stage.
Mm-hmm.
For the music, and that's it. So we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. You want to get your calls in, 334-272-9228. We'll come back and let you know if this worked from this, air quote, legitimate company. Be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. It's just me and RJ today, Scott and RJ hanging out. You want to get in touch with the show, give us a call, 334-272-9228. Music here from Axiom Verge. It's called The Axiom, which if you have not played that, I've always said it was like Metroidvania type situation, but it is much more Metroid than Vania. Even in the music.
I think I missed a few PlayStation Plus specials on that in the past. I'm trying to remember how much it was. It was like 15 or something.
If it ever comes back around, man, you should totally pick it up.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of that kind of gaming, Metroidvania style, but yeah.
I never played Metroid.
But anyway, welcome back to the show, and just to give you an update, now we're going to talk with STM Fuller, who is called in, which, by the way, if you want to do that, again, I throw out the number, 334-272-9228. Phone might ring a little bit for two reasons. We don't have a phone screener here, and my back is away from the phone looking at RJ when I talk, so I don't see a ring over here. I've got a screen over here that'll tell me it's ringing, but I have to pay attention to it in order to see that it's ringing. Let's talk to STM Fuller. Hey, man.
All right, so...
Thank you for the link, by the way. I now own Prey, and it actually worked. We wanted to give you an update on how that went. The the picture of the two codes, the game code and the DLC code, literally looked like a picture someone took with a phone camera and sent it to me.
That's exactly how the one I got looked.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally nothing sketchy about that.
It looks completely sketchy. But boom, I got the game for $36, and I it's installing right now, I think. Let me look at this.
I've never had a problem with them. I don't feel especially good about myself when I do it, but then I remember I paid $36 for a brand new game, and I get over it.
That makes it all better.
Totally. Yeah, it's downloading now.
Yeah.
No. Lethal Migraine says Scott threw away a bunch of money on a Switch. Yes and no. I've actually enjoyed that Switch with Mario Kart, and I think I'll enjoy it with Zelda. But I get you, because by the time I could have enjoyed those games, I could have waited until like Christmas or a little bit later, and the price would have dropped more. I understand how it works. Mm-hmm. It's my impulse that has problems.
Yeah.
Scott threw away a bunch of money on a Switch, so $36 is a bargain. Yeah. Honestly, on regular games, it is. I understand on systems, I'm going to be spending over $100, and that if I want to be playing a newer system, then I'm going to be paying a premium in order to play that right when it comes out. I'm going to be paying whatever it costs to do that. I understand that. I know how that works. So I guess I try to minimize my spending on games. That's why I'm part of the Blockbuster Rewards Club thing. So Mario Kart only cost me like $45
mm-hmm.
when I bought it from Best Buy. Prey, I got it for $36. So, you know, I try and find my deals there in the games. If I can't get them outright free from like a Humble Bundle or PS Plus, stuff like that. So, and also, yeah, by the way, I'm talking about it on a show where I work. Write it off on my taxes. So there. Yeah. So anyway, STM Fuller, you found it at CD Keys for that much. You picked it up. Have you played any of it?
No.
Okay.
We partook in some
Well, Cinco de Mayo yesterday.
No, actually we went and got Chinese food.
Oh, okay.
But this morning we went and did some free comic book day.
Oh, that's right.
Stuff, picked up our comic books and then picked that up. And I'm actually still playing, or I just started playing the new Mass Effect game.
Oh, Andromeda. Mm-hmm. Did you pick that up for $36?
I don't remember. Probably.
Sounds like you probably should have, honestly, from everything I've heard from that game, which I haven't really heard necessarily bad things. I've only heard bad things about the presentation. Not necessarily anything other than the presentation. That's all I've heard bad about it.
They said the combat is still good, Matt.
Hmm?
They said the combat is just really, spot on.
I haven't heard anything about bad about like combat. Maybe the story's a little bit, but it's a story. But like it's the biggest elephant in the room on that one has been the presentation, the way the facial expressions look.
That's it.
Yeah, the animation's kind of goofy sometimes. I haven't run across any of the, and I think it's because they patched it. Any of the weird walking and running that they have.
Yeah, has that all been ironed out?
I don't know. No? I know the facial animation is. I've not seen the walking issues, but I've seen some goofy facial animation.
Mm-hmm. I think I still remember that video from the bad. It was basically the running animations was really bad in that one.
Yeah. I've not run across any of that specifically yet.
Okay.
What I have run across, which drove me nuts, and actually the reason why I put down the first one, is the you remember the driving in the original one? That's back.
I never got the DLC for my driving. Or I never got to the part. Or which one are you talking about?
The original one.
The original Mass Effect?
Yeah, the original Mass Effect.
That one I didn't play very much of. I spent a lot of time in Mass Effect 2. And I never played 3. I never finished 2. And I only played maybe 15 minutes of 1. And so I never got to any kind of driving segments in either of those things.
I put the driving segment made me put it down. Because it was just so boring. And in fact, I didn't pick it all up again until I knew 3 was coming out.
And I played all three of them back to back to back, which was fun.
Nice.
But I don't. But it's back and forth, and I can tell you, this, I specifically remember that the driving sequences in the original were just. That's actually the point in time where I was like, okay, well, this sucks.
Wow.
So, but it's back. I mean, it feels the same. It feels Mass Effect-y. I don't know if that's a word, but it is now.
Mm-hmm. That is Mass Effect-y. But the thing you ask about that, though, is it Mass Effect-y 1 or is it Mass Effect-y 2? Because there was a big gameplay shift. There was a game mechanic shift in Mass Effect 1 to Mass Effect 2.
Right now, it feels more like 1 than 2, which is not my favorite.
I was going to say, when they shifted to... That's what drew me into 2, was because they changed up the way the combat and gameplay mechanics worked from 1 to 2. That's when I started playing 2. And I actually got pretty far along in it. I just never finished it.
Now, they did do the weapons take one ammo sort of thing. You know, because I know in the original you had to have... Everything had its own type of ammo and a whole bunch of all that stuff. It doesn't have that anymore. So it's still like that. And it seems like health and ammo and all that kind of stuff is sitting there. It's pretty easy to find, but yeah, it still feels more one than two.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was what I wanted to pick up and start playing after I finished up Mafia 3, which I got for $20.
Yeah.
What did you pick? $20 worth of
where did you pick that up from?
Just Steam.
Oh, Steam? Yeah. I got that on a Black Friday deal from Best Buy again on a Black Friday deal for, I want to say it was about 30, so maybe $10 more, and I got it on PS4.
Yeah. Did you get the DLC with those? Either of you?
Mm-mm.
No? No,
it was just a base game for me as well. Yeah.
Plan on getting it?
It kind of...
I haven't even put in time. I originally bought it and then did a return on it because I was doing that thing at Best Buy where you go and you buy it. You kind of turn Best Buy into a rental place with their Gamers Club situation.
Yeah, the difference really is...
It's about $4.
Yeah, it's not a bad rental.
Yeah, it's about $4 per game if I keep doing that thing over and over again. And so I did that with Mass... Or not Mass Effect, I did it with Mafia. And I played a few minutes of the opening of... Man, the opening is... I love... Every bit of Mafia that I played, I love. Mafia 3 that I played, I loved. Because the opening of that is spectacular. One of the best I've ever played. The way that they open that game. And go through the tutorial and stuff. And I went through all of that. But I didn't get to the point where everybody says it gets bogged down in too many side missions. And, you know, and it loses what it was in that first... Like the first couple of hours of the game, it loses what it was as it goes forward. So I never got to that point. So
I got about 20 hours in, and I said, and I was at one at that about 20 hours in. I sat there and I said, I'm pretty sure I've seen all this game has to give me, because it was all a lot of the same sort of missions. I didn't 100% it. But I did go back and then drop another 12, 14 hours into it.
Yeah. But you finished the main story, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there's, a few endings, and I picked the ending that kind of made sense. And, it was good. I still will argue that Saints Row 3 or 4 does GTA better than GTA.
I would agree.
And
love the Saints Row series.
This is not as good as it's. But Mafia's, it's good. It's just not the best.
Yeah,
it's good enough.
So then the next game you're going to be jumping into, I guess, would be Prey.
Yeah, I don't tend to play more than one. Maybe two games at the same time. Two is tough because if I have to go back and forth, I'll eventually lose interest in one of them.
I'm in the same boat with you. I usually, two's about all I can stand, depending on the control scheme. Something like The Witness I can always jump into because that control scheme's ridiculous. By ridiculous, I mean it's basically move the dot from one place to another. There is no, I need no muscle memory with that game. Whereas something like Mafia 3, I have a control scheme that gets embedded into my brain, you know, and I have a muscle memory for the control scheme of Mafia 3, and then jumping into something like Nier, I have a control scheme for that as well. So I'm good.
And I also got the DLC for Nier.
Oh, did
you? I got the DLC from Nier from the same place that when I picked up the Prey.
Oh.
It's like $15. They had it for $12. Green Man Gaming's got it for $11 right now.
Is that the one where you fight the CEOs?
Yeah.
But the CEOs of Square Enix and the CEO of, I think, Platinum. You fight them in the game. Yeah, it's very Japanese.
Yeah.
Now the difficult part is to go back and see if I can actually get myself back to the point where I can play it, because of the way things end and work out.
I have not. That's the other game, and I'll go into it now. That's outside of Mario Kart. That's the other game I've been playing, which is Nier. And
isn't that game so awesome?
I've only, due to the problems going on with my neck, I've only really started to get back into it. And I actually wanted to play it last night, but when I got done, after watching the movie and everything else, and celebrating my Mexican heritage, of which I have none, as you're supposed to do on May the 5th, I got home and was like, I crashed. I really wanted to play some of it because I'd actually gotten further, like the night before or two nights before. I'd gotten to the amusement park, which I know is really early in the game, but I got to the amusement park level and fought that opera singing thing, whatever that robot was.
Yep.
Then I went to the robot village, and then I came out and I fought the big oil tanker again, and then the ground opened up, and that's where I'm currently at right now. So
that's not well. You're in the first playthrough. You're getting there. You're getting close to the end of the first playthrough.
I figured that. I knew that the game. The game levels aren't, or I say levels, but the game, a playthrough on your first time is actually very short, but the length in this game comes from multiple playthroughs because everything changes.
I would hesitate to call each playthrough like a playthrough. I think they just, and there are four essentially, you know, massive levels, and, or was it three? It's three or four massive levels. They just run the credits after the end of each of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you stop after the first time through, you've missed everything that's interesting about the game.
Oh, totally, yeah. That's exactly what I've understood about how this game works. So I'm really looking forward to moving through this thing. And now that I've kind of picked it back up and gotten into my rhythm again, I'm looking forward to going through it. Now I've got Prey over here downloading, and it's like, ew, the music itself just wants to make me play the thing. So, and everything else that I've heard, when I can find something that's $36 like that, sure, I'll jump in almost blind if I can get it for even cheaper, especially brand new like that. Whatever, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Fuller, quick question for you about Nier. How many playthroughs have you gone through in the game yourself?
I only went through once.
Okay, once.
I'm sure there are pieces of the story that I missed.
Now, are you talking about once as far as...
Oh, no. I've made it... I went all the way through.
Okay, gotcha.
So, if you want to be technical about it, I've played it through four times.
It's kind of tough to talk about. You might be spoilering sort of things. I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I don't want
to... Well, the basic question I want to ask you is that... I know there's a component where you improve your stats and everything. I was wondering if they carried over the next playthrough over and over and over again, like it wouldn't, like it wouldn't Dark Souls. Yeah, it does.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Cool.
Yeah. Yes. I would think of the playthroughs as more of a, again, they're just big levels with the credits running at the end of each of them.
Okay.
And yeah, without getting super duper spoilery, yeah, everything carries over, and where you start with, you don't start with again when you go back around.
Okay. Yeah, we got someone in the chat room. Retro Ed said, "Nier Automata is something else." He said, "35 hours to properly finish." So I guess with all the playthroughs over and over again, yeah, sounds pretty good.
35 yeah,
hours. Yeah,
that sounds about right. That sounds about what I did. And now you're gonna make me look.
Okay.
Well, good.
I was 29.
29 hours in?
Yeah,
okay. Are you playing on PS4 or PC?
Just PC. Everything's on PC.
Oh, okay. How does that run on PC? I've heard different things.
It does something weird with the resolution. This year I upgraded to a 1440p monitor. And it doesn't particularly like going above 1080. So you have to fix the resolution. There's a in the Steam discussion, their forums, you can go in and it shows you what to pick up and stuff, and then it looks okay. Not particularly had any issues with the with the slowdown or anything like that, but yeah, that's the worst of it, is that it seems like it's stuck at a certain resolution and you have to say no, you gotta go higher, must go higher, must look better.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at I'm reading the chat room. RJ's looking at Lethal Migraine, says $40 right now in the PS4, in the PS store on PS4.
Yeah.
There's a Japanese sale going on this week. So
that's a good pickup. I'd pick it up.
I would say, yeah.
Really awesome.
$40 for that is really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
There was also some DLC release for Gravity Rush 2 that puts your Nier character in Gravity Rush 2.
Okay.
So you play as, what's her name? 2B?
Yeah.
2B, yeah.
In the Shakespeare.
The Golden Week sale. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's TM Fuller. Where are you calling from, by the way?
Oh, I'm calling from Chicago.
All right, cool. Chicago, yeah. Awesome. All right, man. Well, we appreciate it. We're coming up on a break here, which is why I'm closing on this. But thank you for the recommendation on where to buy Prey, because you made a sale, buddy.
probably multiple sales now.
Possibly, because that's fantastic. $36 for a brand new PC game. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you for that. Thank you for calling in, and always thanks for listening.
Yeah. Cheers.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Yeah, I've been playing Nier. I got to where the ground opens up, and so mm-hmm. I don't know how far I've got to go in this thing, but I'll play some more.
It says you're getting near the end of one playthrough.
Basically for 2B's playthrough,
mm-hmm.
Seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You don't have Nier, do you?
I have the game. I just haven't started it yet.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I bought it, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. In retrospect, I should have, he said digital. I wanted the physical copy anyway, so no, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I got the game.
I wouldn't mind having the digital copy, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because it's not any good for me, unless I'm doing the Best Buy rental thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do any good for me to have it on physical,
mm-hmm.
you know? And the other day I was sitting there playing Nier, and I thought, I kind of want to jump back into Horizon. And I was like, yeah, but you got to get up and change out the disc. I was like, let's play Nier some more, you know?
Yeah.
Which I understand that is like epitome of lazy, and if I really wanted to play the game, I'd get up and change out the disc, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't do that.
Look, I'll be the first to tell you, digital does make a lot of things convenient. It really does.
Transport is easy, you know, stuff like that. If I take my game anywhere, it's all right there, so I really, really kind of love that. I increase the hard drive space mainly for that reason. And, of course, Destiny 2 is coming up,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to pick that up digitally, because I know how much I play that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's not going to get a return. You know, I'm still going to be playing that. So I'm going to pick that up. Mm-hmm. I say I'm picking that up digitally, but I'm trying to find the Steelbook. So who knows? It might be one where I double dip.
Yeah, that reminds me about the expanding, the PS4. It allows you to put, 8 terabits on there?
I don't know how far it goes. I want to say it goes up. I know it goes to 4.
At least. 4 terabits on there. Okay.
I know it at least goes to 4.
I'm talking about something external, though, like because I've seen a bunch of external, huge external drives available on sale on Newegg and places like that, and mm-hmm. Maybe something like that to back up everything on the PS4. I have enough room to spare, actually. I thought it was up to 8 terabits you could put on there.
It may be. It may be. I really haven't looked into it because I really want something that's... I got the hybrid. I got the hybrid SSD hard disk thing because that seems to be the best. Like pure SSD, 2 gigs, is expensive to put in. Like mm-hmm. that's 2 gigs, 2 terabytes.
Yeah.
That's an expensive drive. I think 1 terabyte right now is an expensive drive for an SSD.
Mm-hmm.
and the speed difference between the two we're talking is just seconds. It really is just seconds. Whereas the speed difference on a 72 RPM and a hybrid or a 54 or a 54 RPM, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, is something a little bit better. So mm-hmm. I found a hybrid drive. I stuck it in there. It works. Yeah. And I'll probably do that again if I want to upgrade it to a 4 or something like that.
Did you get a 1.77 terabits after it was all said and done?
Probably. Yeah, I don't exactly know because I just did. You remember I did the switch from PS4 Pro to a PS4?
Mm-hmm.
And once it got in there, I immediately started moving everything back over doing the switch. So
right.
I don't remember. I got plenty of room there until I put Arkham Knight on there, which I've got the game and all the DLC for PS4.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Well, yeah, because I picked it. See, that's a game where I double-dipped. I wanted to play it on PC just because I knew it was going to look great. Mm-hmm. Ha ha, joke's on me.
It looked right, I just didn't play.
No. Oh. PS4 actually outdid it. When the game released, the PS4 was above anything else. The PC version was below it. The Xbox One version was below it, and the PS4 version was the tops as far as the look.
Okay, look, I thought it was just bad glitches.
No. They had not optimized it well enough for PC.
Right.
Now, PC has overtaken that, mm-hmm. but honestly, not by much. So I played it on PC. I had the benefit of an SSD running on the thing, so load times were quick. I saw where Lethal Migrant said he watched somebody play Sniper Elite 3, and the gameplay was okay, but the load times was like 5 minutes in between levels. Depends on how you play the game. On an mm-hmm. SSD... my load times in between levels are 30 seconds, maybe, mm-hmm. 45 seconds, but under a minute at least. And so that makes a massive difference when you're playing it on a PS or on an SSD. Solid state drive is what we're saying on an SSD. Mm-hmm. Very, very fast. The fastest drive you can have in your system. We got to take a break. We're at the top of the hour. When we come back, we'll have more in-game chat. We'll have more of your calls, 334-272-9228. If you want to get in, please give us a call. We'll talk to you. And here is music. Now, again, going through music, I got the music from Prey that I think is actually from the game and not from trailer music. We'll see about that now that I own the game. Thanks again, STM Fuller. But I also wanted to jump back to the 2006 version of Prey, which came out from 3D Realms, I think, was the developer on that one. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was 3D Realms, back on Xbox 360 when it released and stuff. First time we ever saw a kind of portal use or an interesting way of portal use. It wasn't like you could put portals anywhere, but they had portals in the game. But I think it's 3D Realms that did that.
Hmm.
Are you looking that up right now?
I'm looking it up right now. We'll figure it out when we get back.
All right, fine. Yeah. Well, here is music from Prey 2006. It's just the overture. So we'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chats. I'm Scott, along with RJ, taking your calls at 334-272-9228. Music here from Dawn of War 3. It's called Fire in the Sky. I think Dawn of War 3 came out this week or last week. I can't remember. Anyway, RJ looked it up, and Prey from 2006 was developed by Human Head Studios under contract to 3D Realms. Mm-hmm. 3D Realms, I believe, owned the IP. And they had been working on it for some time, and just it fell into development hell, or it couldn't get made or something. I can't remember the whole story. It's very interesting that it came about and was like, oh, they revitalized it, they got it working again, and then they got it released. So, yeah. That was the story on that one. I'm excited because the next break we're going to hear the music from Prey, the new one. And if it's from the game, then I'm really excited about that. Sounds like a very, very good soundtrack. Wanted to go over a chat room roll call real quick. We've got Lavos hanging out there. AC Wraith, Arioka, Cavalier UK, Drunk Degenerates just showed up. Lethal Migraine, Multile, Retrode, STM Fuller, Tactus 59, and Vol Mike Devil. Hanging out there as well. If anybody showed up while I was looking at that, it didn't say, but I will check. Nope. There we go. So thanks, everybody, for hanging out in the chat room with us. Wanted to go over some of the news that's gone on this week. Oh, yes, thank you. Forgot to change the camera. appreciate that, Cavalier UK. Thank you for doing that. Some of the news that took place. Mario Kart 8. I'm going to do some quick ones here. If I can not stay in a certain position, it's going to kill my back. Mario Kart 8 set a franchise record. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, by the way, the Switch version, set a franchise record here in the States. Sold 459,000 units, making it the fastest selling in the Mario Kart series. Mm-hmm. Record-breaking sales pace for Zelda Breath of the Wild. Nintendo of America has now confirmed that Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on Nintendo Switch has become the fastest-selling in the franchise history. That combines digital figures and physical figures, 459,000 units. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe gives it a 45% attach rate thus far. Mario Kart Wii was the previous record holder for the highest first-day sales in the franchise, with sales of about 433,000 units. That was back in 2008. So, they don't have global figures for the number just yet, but it's doing well in the UK. It's the first Nintendo boxed game to get to number one since 2011, when the format holder topped the charts with Pokemon White on DS. It's also the first Mario game to reach the top of the charts since Mario Kart Wii in 2008, and that's just for the UK. So, it's done fantastic. The reviews have been fantastic for that game. Sales have been fantastic for that game. So it's all good. Oculus is not going to have a booth at E3 this year, which is whatever. I didn't really expect that they would continue to have booths after release. Mm-hmm. Because I figured the booths that they had, and booths, by the way, is a very hard word to say over and over again. I figured when they had a booth at E3, they were just out there to drum up interest until release. And then once it's out there, it becomes like a console, and they're not necessarily putting out games for it. Other people are putting out games for it. So publishers and developers who have booths would have their games for Oculus, out there for it. And Oculus wouldn't need to do that. It's like it's already been released. You're not going to continue to do that. There's been a booth out there since 2014. And this is the first year that there won't be one. Well, yeah, the system came out. Probably not. There was a booth last year, but that was the year that they released. So I think they were trying to drum up sales. They were probably also showing off the Oculus Touch, which has also been released. The whole format, the whole system has come, not necessarily full circle, but it's out. It's done. They might modify the gear later on, but right now everything's available. There is no more need for them to promote it at something like an E3 or something like that. Now it's up to the games to promote the system. So that doesn't seem like it's a big deal to me. It does say that that's more money that E3 is not going to see. The ESA, I think, who puts on E3, yeah, that's more money they're not going to see because they're not going to get the rental space for that. Mm-hmm. EA is not going to be there. Nintendo is not going to be there.
Yeah. You said a while ago a lot of people were pulling out of that thing anyway.
They really are, and it might change. It might change because this is the first year that they opened up tickets for people to buy. Respectively priced tickets for people mm-hmm. to buy. You could actually always buy a ticket to E3 if you wanted to, but it was about $1,000 to get a ticket to go to all 3 days of the show. Now it's down to $250 to go to all 3 days of the show. And if you got in on the early bird, I think it was $150 to go to all 3 days. So they've opened that up for, I think, 15,000 tickets. 15,000, you know, tickets mm-hmm. were available for in that group. So we'll see how that does. If more people are, it's not going to matter somewhat, because EA is having space outside of the convention.
Across EA the street, what?
Yeah, they're holding their own thing. So even if the new ticket situation brings in more people, it's not going to tell EA. All it's going to tell EA to do is like, oh, this works for us, because they can still go over to the EA section and do their thing.
Yeah, while y'all are here,
yeah,
we got something going on across the street.
Exactly. It's not really going to incentivize them to buy more space at E3, because the EA section is free to enter. You don't need tickets. You don't have to buy tickets to go to it. So even if you go to E3 and don't get into the show floor, you can still go over to EA and do their thing. So it's still beneficial to them. It might draw in some others. It might... What it'll do is it might bring more money in. I think the ticket option is something that they've opened up to because these people have dropped out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's there to drum up interest so that they can bring those people back in. I think it's to compensate for the money they're losing.
Yeah. Lethal Migraine in the chat room says it was a 15,000 tickets allotted, and it hasn't sold out yet.
No, of course it not. It's not. And it's not going to, because when you... There's some things that they need to do if they're going to do this. The ticket price is fine at what they're selling, but now they need to tie it in. I mean, if they really want to make this a public event, which I don't think they actually will, they need to start tying it in with the hotels around there. This is Los Angeles. This is downtown Los Angeles. So people who go to this thing now have to rent rooms and everything else and airfare and stuff like that. They really want to do this, and then they did this for press. If you got a media badge for this, then you could select their you could select from hotels on the list that would give you a reduced rate because you were media and accepted to go, and you could also do airfare because you were media. It was a reduced rate. Mm-hmm. They don't offer this for anybody buying tickets through the public plan. So these lower price tickets still doesn't open you up to get a deal through hotels and a deal through airfare. PAX doesn't give you any kind of deal through airfare, but it does give you hotel deals. They book rooms throughout the hotels, and you can get a group rate. So that's something else they need to look into if they're going to do this and want to draw people in. I don't suspect it'll ever sell out, but I think it's a start in the right direction. I think moving it out of LA would be the start of a right direction.
What would be a better alternative?
San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, the convention center in San Diego, number one, it's cheaper. The convention center in San Diego is bigger, but it's cheaper because it's not Los Angeles. It's not downtown Los Angeles. They're under a contract with Los Angeles, though, so it's going to be a while before they can get out of that. I think they've signed another 5 or 6 years for the Los Angeles Convention Center. So they're not going to get out of that. Mm. But San Diego's convention center is massive. It's where they hold Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
So it's huge. It could easily fit everything into... just one little part of the San Diego Convention Center. And you wouldn't have people running across from one wing to the other trying to get to appointments or anything like that. There's two wings for the LA Convention Center. There's the West Hall and there's the South Hall. Or North Hall or something. Anyway.
It's like a college campus. So,
yeah, there's two different halls, and there's a nice long stretch in between the two. So
like a walkway or something?
Just an area to walk in between.
Okay.
You know, there's a couple of different ways you can get to it, an outside area, an inside area, that sort of thing. But it's a trip to go through, and you got a lot of people there. And so it was whenever I was setting up appointments, you know, you got an appointment from 3 to 3:30, and then your next one's from 3:30 to 4 and that sort of thing. You wanted to kind of space some time in between, because if either one of them ran late or couldn't get you in and said, hey, can you hold off for another few minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Then either your time's going to get cut short there or you're going to be late to your next appointment or something like that. So it was just, it was ridiculous trying to schedule all that and run from one place to the other to make your appointments.
Take into account that you got to hike from one place to the area.
Yeah, and I always tried to book my south halls in, you know, for one section and then my west halls for another section. But then, you know, towards the end of that, it was like, I'll just take whatever you got. Give me something. And you had to take whatever they had available. So it got harder and harder to schedule that stuff. But from what I understand, if you moved it to the San Diego Convention Center, everything could be in one section and it wouldn't be such a, you know, everybody would be all in one space. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have to divide it up. And of course, if more of these people back out, they might could put everything in one space. So we'll see. Because companies like Microsoft and Sony aren't buying the extra room that's being opened from Nintendo not being there and EA not being there. They're still buying their space because what they had was enough. And honestly, if they pull out of that, then I was talking to James. I picked James up the other day from work or something, and he'd asked me if I was going E3. I said, no, I'm pretty much done with that. And I said, I think a lot of people are, or a lot of the companies are probably going to get done with that. They're still going to do the press conferences. They're still going to keep doing those. That's not part of E3. It happens around E3 because everybody's there, and that's just when it happens, but it's actually not part of E3. The tickets you buy to get into E3 do not get you into any of these press conferences. You have to get invited by the companies to go to these press conferences. So those will stick around. That's fine. But the E3 show, that whole thing, needs some kind of evolution. And I think more and more people look at what EA is doing, what Nintendo is doing. People look at what, I mean, look at how Activision announced Call of Duty World War II. They had a live stream mm-hmm. where you could see gameplay and they talked about the game, did their thing. Look at how Nintendo unveiled the Switch. They did a live stream. It was in Japan, but they did a live stream. I think more and more it's going to go to publishers and stuff doing things like this because they can control the narrative massively by doing it themselves rather than letting people come in, play the game, and get word out otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
They'd hold their own events, hold their own things, then they don't have to pay the money for the floor space at E3. They don't have to pay for the money for the hotel accommodations for all the people who set that whole thing up on there. Because when you buy floor space, you're not getting the rig guys to come in there and set up your booth. You've still got to provide all that. You've got to provide kiosks for people to play, big theater screen, projectors, you just buy the space. Everything else has to be provided by you, so it's more money for them to put in, and I honestly think they're going to get rid of that. You know, I talked about me going to some theater presentations out there on the show floor, and I would sit there and take notes, and then I would sit and write, you know, a lengthy page description of everything I was seeing in this theater presentation. 2 weeks later, the theater presentation gets posted online by the developer, or the publisher, and I'm like, oh, well, here, just watch this. You don't need my words. Just watch this. It's just do that.
Yeah.
Just do that. Because then you can show off what you want to show off, and you don't have to worry about somebody coming back saying, ah, I think it looked like crap or whatever. You just put it out there, and then people can take away from it instead of drawing their own conclusion from somebody else's point of view.
Yeah.
Somebody else's point of view says, it looked like crap, and they might write it off in their head saying, I'm not interested. So then when the video comes up, they think, yeah, but it looked like crap. I'm not interested in watching it. Whatever. Okay. Just post it. Just get it out there. You know? That's it. Yeah, you don't need E3.
Yeah, we mentioned in the chat room, me and Arioka and others, about how it's just better online. Just put something out online, and people can just get the access, get their information right then and there, and
it truly is. I did not. Last year was the first year that I stayed home in probably 8 years and not going to E3. First year I watched it from the house.
Mm-hmm.
Much preferred it there. I had a nice spread of food.
Yeah.
Sitting on the bed. Watching the thing.
Yeah, I said earlier, it's like football, better on TV and internet than in person.
It really honestly is. It honestly is. I think if you got an opportunity to go to one of these things, do it, because I think the whole atmosphere of it's really great. But I did it 8 years in a row, and yeah. I honestly realized that staying home and watching this thing is great. If you're around the LA area and you get invited, go for it, you know. But I wouldn't pay money for the hotels downtown LA anymore. That was such a racket. It was so expensive.
How much are we talking about a night?
Oh God! A night. It was around $200 or $300. It's downtown LA. Downtown LA. Now there were other options, and I've stayed in other options before.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group of us who stayed in other options before. We will never do that again. We stayed a good ways away from it, and it was cheap, but
the traveling from one place to the other was
it's not that. It was crime.
Oh.
It was police at night, gunshots at night. Yeah, it was not fun. It was really scary. Let me go to the phones real quick, and I don't know who this is, but you are on in-game chat. What's your name?
It's me, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
How you doing, man?
Not too bad. Y'all having fun today?
Yeah, man. Somebody in the chat room alerted me to a low price on the game Prey for PC, and I actually bought it on the air because I wasn't sure if it was going to be legit. And even after I made the purchase and got the code to download, I still wasn't sure if it was legit or not. But
if you saw the picture, you'd understand why.
The game is finished downloading on my PC here, so it's totally legit. $36 for Prey. That was awesome.
That's pretty cool. I've been seeing kind of interest in that. That looks pretty fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was on the PC that I bought it, though, and that's where you'll usually find lower prices like that. I know on the console games, it's rare that it comes down like that until, you know, a couple of months after the game's release. Sometimes a couple of weeks after the game's release, depending on how well it's received. But I got it on PC. What have you been playing?
Oh, not much. This and that. Mason had some free time this weekend, so me and his other buddy, Lance, spent the night with him last night and hung out over the weekend, and we hit up one of the local thrift centers, 2nd and Charles, that was in Hoover, I believe, and I found a Power Glove completing box for the Nintendo. It's a little expensive, but I said, you know, what the heck, I don't think I'd ever find one somewhere else that's in that good a shape.
And what'd you get?
The Power Glove. It was an accessory.
Oh, okay.
That thing they put in the Wizard, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the Power Glove. I know about the Power Glove. I never owned one. I think around the time the Power Glove came out, I was just not... I was not interested in... Like, there was the Power Pad, the Power Glove. I was like, no, I'm not interested in all these. There was the Super Scope, but I think that was the SNES.
Yeah, that was on that one.
Yeah, that was on the SNES. I was just not big into some of these elaborate peripherals.
Oh.
You know?
Said it came out in 1989, but it was discontinued in 1990.
I don't think it was ever a popular thing, to be honest with you.
Hmm.
I don't think it took off too much as far as I can remember, too.
Yeah, but so I was just not into the, you know, I didn't get into the big peripheral stuff until Guitar Hero. That was when I was like, okay, I'll have a drum set and two guitars and mic stands and all this other crap in my house.
Oh, it only had two games that were especially made for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's why it didn't last.
And the game sold poorly.
It had no support. Yeah. It had no support. Mm-hmm.
And the Power Glove itself was a critical and commercial failure.
The only Nintendo peripherals that I actually had was... that was for the SNES again. I had one of those Mad Catz controllers so I could play Mortal Kombat with... the D-pad was like a touch thing. Mm-hmm. It just felt the movement of your thumb over it.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually something you press, so that's how I learned to... That's what I was playing my Mortal Kombat 2 on SNES with.
I think I had one of those.
It was like a blue controller and whatever.
Yeah, I think the version I had was black and yellow. I tried that for all mm-hmm. of 2 minutes. Couldn't stand it. I needed to have some give.
Yeah, I used that. But for the SNES, the only peripheral I had was the NES Advantage, which was the joystick thing. Because at the time, I had not become accustomed to D-pads, man.
Yeah,
I was still the way my mechanics of my hands worked as far as hand-eye coordination was still on sticks and buttons like an arcade cabinet. So I was still in that mode the entire time, and that's the only way I played my games. on the NES was with the stick and with the buttons. Well, that turbo button on the NES Advantage was fantastic for Mega Man and for a lot of others, like Ninja Turtles and stuff. You just hit that turbo button and hold it down.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great.
Nothing was getting through with that.
Oh, that was great. Loved that. So, yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you got one of those then for your collection.
Yeah, and I saw some of those other games for sale on the Japanese, the Golden sale that was on right now, and I got one of the other role-playing games. Couldn't remember his marked down from like $50 to $10, so I picked it up, and I also bought the Dangerous Golf recently, you know, in the past, since you had been talking
about it. Oh, nice!
I was able to finish download it, and me and my buddy Mason checked it out and everything, and yeah, we had a blast playing that for a few minutes.
That's fantastic, man. Thank you for picking that up, because I will still, you know, I was thinking about it today. I said, every show we do, where I don't have their new game called Danger Zone, whatever, means that I am one more week closer to having their game called Danger Zone. It's releasing in May. So, you know, I didn't get it this week, so I'm 1 week closer to getting it, because it's supposed to come out this month at some point, maybe. And it's going to be like a stealth release. It's just going to be like, boom, here it is, it's up, you know, whenever it releases. So I am very, very excited for that. Chris, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm
okay.
Just listening.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling.
How did y'all enjoy the cool weather yesterday?
I enjoyed the hell out of it, man. I love the cold weather.
I really love
the cold weather. You look at me. I like cold because I am constantly hot.
Yeah, I'm hot. I'm hot nature too. I can't stand the heat. And,
yeah.
You know, I love the cool, nice. Cool weather like that.
I got enough insulation on me, so I love the cold weather.
Yeah, it's a welcome change once in a while during this time of year, isn't it?
Yep, sure was. So, all right, man. Well, we appreciate hearing from you.
All right. Well, y'all have a good one. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, buddy. Take care. We had to take a break anyway. I wasn't even paying attention to the time. All right, so when we come back, we'll talk about Steam's got a new way for game gifting, and we'll talk about that. What else? Oh, we got a new game announced that originally was leaked, but it was going to be announced this week anyway. What else do we have? Another thing on Steam. We'll go over the E3 press conferences, at least what we've got so far. Sony finally announced theirs this week, so there's that. And more we got coming up here. And your calls, if you want to give us a call, 334-272-9228 is the number. Here is that track from Prey. It's called Everything Is Going to Be Okay, and we'll be right back with more in-game chat right after this. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music there from F-Zero. It's the title screen. Speaking of the SNES, I think it was F-Zero and Mario Kart that used that, it was a marketing term, and they talked about it in that Console Wars book that you and I read, the Mode 7 chip, or whatever it was called.
Was that a counter to blast processing?
Blast processing, yeah. That was a counter to Genesis's blast processing.
I still remember that commercial.
Which one?
For
Sega or SNES?
For Sega, it was the funny car in the right lane and the broke down ice cream truck.
Oh yeah, and they had the Mario Kart on one side.
Mario Kart
they
was on the back, strapped Sonic. To the back of it, and on the funny car they had Sonic. On the back of that one. Yeah,
I remember that.
If no one says read that book, Console Wars, you know, give it a little.
It is a fantastic book. It is a great book. It's one of the only. I've seen a lot of books about the history of video games and stuff like that, but Console Wars is really, really, really good, and it's great insight into the Sega-Nintendo battle.
Business in general, really.
And it goes into the reason Sega dropped out of everything and kind of their downfall of what happened. It covers kind of the reason that we get game releases on Tuesday now. Because Sega wanted to, I can't remember what day games usually released on. Maybe it was just arbitrary. They just released on regular, just any old day. Mm-hmm. There was no set day for game releases, but Sega wanted to do Sonic Tuesday because of the two. And so they released on a Tuesday. And then it just sort of kind of set a precedence on that thing. But yeah, it's a fantastic book. Lethal Migraine, you should read it. I'm putting it out there now. You might crap on it, but you should read it. But it's great. I really, really enjoyed that book. And thanks to Sarah for sending us a early copy of that as well. Some of the things we were going to talk about, we were mentioning E3, and I wanted to go over the E3 schedule that we know of so far. And by that, I mean the press conferences. E3 is coming up June the 10th. That's when our first press conferences are coming off. EA kicks it off at 3:00 Central Time. Should I give out Eastern? Well, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3:00 Central. They're going to do their press conference. That's on a Saturday. So that's probably what we'll be talking about in the 4:00 hour when we go live. We'll be talking about what EA just did because we'll all be watching it in here as it happened. Let's see. And then Sunday on the 11th, at 4:00 or 5:00 Eastern, 4:00 Central, we'll have Microsoft. Again, this is very strange that they're doing all these things way ahead of time. Also on Sunday at 10:00 Eastern, 9:00 Central PM, by the way, Bethesda will have their E3 press conference, making me stay up when I have to get up at 4:30 the next morning. Thank you, Bethesda. Sony's going to do the same thing because on Monday, June the 12th, PlayStation, or Sony, is going to have theirs at 9:00 Eastern, 8:00 Central, which is the norm for them. What we don't know yet is Ubisoft and Nintendo. Nintendo's going to have a Nintendo Direct. We do not know what time. Ubisoft, we'll see. It used to be afternoons on Monday, but we'll see when they're going to do theirs. They're probably still trying to figure. They'll probably stick to the script on theirs. But we'll see if anything changes. But that's your E3 press conference schedule there. So, I don't know about Ready Player One. I don't think you'll like Ready Player One, actually, Lethal Migraine. I for whatever reason, I don't think you'll like it. I read it. It was enjoyable. But for me, hands down, Console Wars, I guess just because, obviously, it's set in reality, Console Wars, it's not really kind of a narrative. It's a nice little history lesson of a time that I lived through but didn't really know what was going on behind the scenes. There was no internet to kind of get scoops of what was going down. This is like something that I hope we get later on in the future of what happened over at, is it Irrational Games? Is that the one I'm thinking of? The people who did Bioshock. I think that's Irrational. But what happened with Ken Levine and his decision to leave Irrational Games and basically Irrational breaking up, how THQ went bankrupt. the change that went. I would love some kind of history of the change that went that BioShock Infinity took from all the reveals that they did leading up to all the changes and what we eventually got of a game. Because the game that we got is not the game that they showed off originally. I understand that that's never the case with most games. The game they show off originally is not the game you're going to get, but I'm talking massive change. Story-wise, concept-wise, huge change in between what we saw and what we got, and there was no explanation in between as to why there was any kind of change. But yeah, Console Wars, dude, pick that up. Pick that up. Great book. Great book.
Yeah, Irrational Games.
Yeah, it was Irrational. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Steam, I wanted to talk about, let's see, that's the game gifting. I wanted to talk about that too, but I was going to talk about, they handle around 50,000 refund requests per day. Mm-hmm. You know, their refund thing, they released that. It's 49,119 refund requests have been submitted over the past 24 hours, according to Valve's Steam support page. All are dealt with between 1.5 hours and 1.5 days, basically. The vast majority are queries regarding account security and recovery, while the rest are filed under game and Steam technical support and purchase and billing support. They introduced refunds back in 2015. It was just an interesting number that we hadn't gotten before. But now they've made a change on their gifting policy. Mm-hmm. You now, if you want to gift a game, you have to do it at the time of purchase. Hmm. Used to, you could buy a game and stick it in your... You couldn't put it in your game inventory to where, like, you've got the game and you own it. You could put it in your... I can't remember. You could set it aside for gifting later if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Buy now, gift later.
Yeah, you could do that. Something I never thought about, and people were taking advantage of, was that they were reselling it. So Steam sales would come along, mm-hmm. and people would buy the games at a real cheap price, stick it in their inventory, and then after the Steam sale is over with, they would sell it and make a profit off of it. Mm-hmm. They would sell it for just under what the retail was, but it was still highly above what they paid for
buy
it.
Buy low, sell high.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I never thought to do this. I feel stupid. I should have been doing that. I realize it's scammy and it's probably horrible, but it doesn't matter to me because they'd be getting the person I'd be selling it to would be getting the game at a lower price than what was on retail, and I'd be making a buck off of it, and that's perfectly fine for me. But they've stopped that now.
It's like scalping tickets.
Basically, that's exactly what it would be doing. It would be scalping. But I'm all for paying cheap for games. I really, really am. In fact, but Steam sales is when I gift games to people anyway. That's, you know, because they happen around the gifting time, Christmas and stuff. So when I would give gifts.
It's when I gifted all those Five Nights at Freddy's when it was on sale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, now you have to do it at the time of purchase, which is completely different. And doesn't bother me. I think it bothers a lot of other people, and I'm not exactly sure what the reason for them to be bothered by it is. Obviously, they can't make a buck off of it, but that's not a legitimate excuse. I can't find any kind of legitimate excuse as to why people are having a problem with that. So, E3 this year has, speaking of E3, they've announced the E3 Coliseum, which I think is the stupidest name. Or is it E3 Arena? No, it's E3 Coliseum. It's a stupid name. Jeff Keighley is going to host it. It's going to be panels and talks and, air quotes, other surprises hosted by Jeff Keighley.
Other surprises.
Other surprises being, I'll tell you what Keighley said. For the past 6 months, we've quietly been working with all the major game teams to curate special presentations. Thousands of fans will get to attend in person alongside presentations from game developers. We'll also welcome some very special guests from, here's his wording, the broader entertainment world. This reminds me of when, I think I was at this one. Microsoft brought in like R. Kelly to dance to Just Dance or something like that.
Something,
you know? Or was it R. No, it was Usher. It wasn't R. Kelly. It was Usher.
Basically, someone who.
That's how much I know.
Basically, someone you don't associate with the video game entertainment industry.
They're just
brought in.
All it does for them is gets a headline later where it's like, ooh, so and so showed up at blah, 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 where they wouldn't have gotten that before.
Yeah.
That's what it's for. And it's. It's a horrible desperation move. I think they should stop that because, honestly, for almost everybody watching, it's ridiculous, it's crap, and it's...
And the first thing you think is, why are you here?
I know. It's horrible. Don't do this. But they're trying to get their... They're trying to get that out into, you know, a broader audience to see it. And that's the only way they can do that, is bringing... broader entertainment world. Yeah. They'll join us to speak about the cultural significance of gaming and how this incredible medium... Listen to this. STM Fuller was talking about our sales ads and how salesy they sounded. This is exactly the same. They'll speak to us about the cultural significance of gaming and how this incredible medium has influenced their work. Yeah, publishers scheduled to host panels include Activision, Bethesda, Microsoft, Gearbox, Sony, Square Enix, Ubisoft... Warner Brothers, and more to be announced. Hmm. So they're opening up panels to E3 now. Again, bringing it closer to more of a PAX situation. Where it's like, look, throw in the hotels. You might be really good at this. And to make something happen out of it. Hey, Adam Smith, thanks for joining the show here. We're almost done with the show. We've got about another less than 10 minutes to go. Hmm. The Hall of Fame. We didn't talk about the games that got inducted in the Video Game Hall of Fame. We already talked about one, Street Fighter II. We used music from that. Pokemon Red and Pokemon Green were added. Never played them. These were for the Game Boy system. I've never played a Pokemon game outside of Pokemon Go, and I really don't think that counts. It's just never been anything that's interested me. I like that they're in there, and... I sort of have access now to a couple of Pokemon games on my 3DS that I might take advantage of and see. Mm-hmm. Donkey Kong was added in there, and Halo was added into this year's inductees. Mm-hmm. Now, the nominees were Final Fantasy VII, also the four games that I just mentioned that got in.
Okay.
Also, Microsoft Windows Solitaire.
Okay.
Mortal
free, and everybody
everybody
got it and played it.
Minesweeper hasn't made the cut. Mortal Kombat and Myst.
Mm-hmm.
Portal, Resident Evil, Tomb Raider, and Wii Sports. So a nice long
people talk about some folks will debate whether or not some deserve a first ballot entry, first time available, and get in there, but they didn't. So
I hope Miss gets in there. I would like Miss to get in there.
Yeah.
Solitaire seemed... I feel like that should have gone in as one of the first. You know, I know it's just Solitaire, but God, that's something that kind of paved... I won't say it paved the way for PC gaming, but...
Who do you know who hasn't played that game?
It was likely the first PC game you ever played.
Yeah.
Solitaire.
Mm-hmm.
Very likely. Well... I say likely the first for you, but if you talk to somebody like Nate, the first PC game he ever played would actually be a PC game, not something like Solitaire, because that's different. But going back through the history of gaming, the very first PC game a lot of us probably played was Solitaire on Windows, very likely. So, Lethal Migraine, of course, says the Video Game Hall of Fame doesn't need to even exist. I disagree. I'm happy with stuff like this. It doesn't matter. I'm not upset that these other games didn't make it in. I have no problem with the games that did. It doesn't affect me either way, so it doesn't bother me. I'm glad it's there, because then we can look and say, hey, who got in this year? Great. Who got in next year? Great.
I remember playing that.
It doesn't give me any kind of... It doesn't bother me in the least.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fine that it exists. I have no problem with that.
Dig Dug, did it make it in there?
It has never been... I don't think it's ever been nominated.
Never been nominated? Okay.
And so, no, it never did get in there. We got a new game that leaked, but then was announced, Darksiders 3, which I didn't see coming, because...
I don't think I've ever played that.
Do you ever played any of the Darksiders?
No,
or Darksiders 2?
I got a friend of mine who really loves that series. Yeah, so he's probably interested in that, but I've never played Darksiders.
Yeah, Darksiders 1... I have talked about this. I always use it in my example of a trope that I hate that happens. They let me play the game and fight this giant boss completely full-powered, and then they take everything away and I got to go get it again.
I remember Chaos Legion did that. Capcom title did that. You were fully powered. All these stats and glyphs and things you could use, and then after that battle, you're gone. You got to go out and search for everything again. Can't think of any others that were like that, though.
There's been a few, but that's the one that sticks out in my mind the most, because I remember going through it and I'm like, wow, man, I am all powerful. This is great. And then take everything away. Now, the journey to go back and get collect everything and get my powers back was great. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Darksiders 2 changed things up a bit. They went more in an RPG flow type thing, loot, things like that, whereas Darksiders 1 was strictly very Zelda-ish. Where you would see access to places that you couldn't get to, but you'd go through a dungeon and get all this stuff, and eventually you'd come around and get like an item that would get you through to other places, and so you'd have to do a lot of revisiting, which was fine because you'd get into something new there. So I love that. Darksiders 3, I don't know exactly which way they're going with this one, if they're going for a more of a 2 approach or a 1 approach, or if they're doing a mix of that. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's very early stages of this, but it was announced. The reason I didn't think we were getting anything else was because it was a THQ game. And THQ went under.
Yeah, they're gone.
Not long after the release, I think, of Darksiders 2. So I really didn't think we were getting anything. When they did the split, we heard of people who got certain things. I can't remember where Darksiders originally fell or where it was placed. Who got it or anything like that, but it was revealed by THQ Nordic, which I didn't even know existed. I don't know who the publisher, maybe THQ Nordic is the publisher on this one. I don't know who the publisher is. You can look that up for us?
I'll look it up.
So, Kirk80294 asked if Oregon Trail counts as the first game on PC. Of course it does. And in fact, it was in the inaugural induction of the Video Game Hall of Fame. Oregon Trail was in there. Pac-Man was in there. Super Mario Brothers, I think, was in there as well. So, yeah. But it's in the Video Game Hall of Fame also. What else did we have? Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was great. Steam and the Video Game Hall of Fame. PC Gaming Show is going to return to E3 as well. That one's going to be held on Monday at 10 in the morning, which I think is 9 in the morning our time. I'm looking up here.
Darksiders 3 says Gunfire Games. You ever heard of them?
Darksiders 3 is Gunfire Games?
Mm-hmm.
No, I've never heard of them.
Yeah, being developed by Gunfire Games and published by THQ Nordic, like I said. But yeah, that's all I can find right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I never heard of Gunfire Games. Does it have anything under their name as far as anything else they've released?
Not that I've seen so far. But
I mean, it's just a publishing company, not the developers.
Yeah.
THQ Nordic is the developers.
Mm-hmm.
We got a phone call coming in, man, but we are... Let me see if I can get it real quick. Hey, this is In-Game Chat. We've only got a few minutes. Who's this?
Hey, this is Weeks.
Hey, Weeks. We only got a... We have less than a minute, man, so what's
up? Okay, hey, I was just going to see... I just got done seeing Guardians Galaxy 2. The thing was great.
Okay, yeah. Saw it yesterday.
There are a couple of...
there's a Pac-Man reference in there, isn't there?
Yeah, there are two Pac-Man references,
I think. There is.
Just one in a line and one that's great. But, you know, the whole thing was really well done, just in general. I was going to let you know I've been playing Mario Kart on Switch.
All right.
It's basically the same thing as Mario Kart 8 on Wii U, except that...
Which I never played, actually, so playing Deluxe on the Switch has been great for me. We've got to run, Weeks. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
All right, take care. Thanks for calling out. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room and everybody on the stream. We want to thank everybody who grabs us each week on iTunes. We appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our Twitch channel, which you're watching right now. If you're on Steam, we've got a group there you can join up with and play games with us and other listeners. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. I leave you with music very quickly from Tumbleseed. See ya.